The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
You've heard horror stories about mother-in-laws. I've actually experienced this. I was married before DJ Automatic, and I wouldn't say that she was terrible. She just didn't like me when I was with her son. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Once we split, dude, like, it was good.
Yeah, I've never had an in-law, but I've been hit with the, hey, I like you as a man, but I don't like you for my daughter.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That kind of thing.
Never happens to me.
Really,
well,
dude?
You weren't married before, though, but you've had girlfriends.
I had
everybody
a lot of
liked
girlfriends.
You automatic?
Yeah, everybody liked me. I had one dad who didn't like me after we broke up and then got back together.
Oh, yeah, dad's not like that.
Yeah, because you hurt his daughter.
Yeah, he didn't talk
you
to me. He still doesn't
girl.
Talk to me. I've seen him a couple times.
How far, though, can you get into your kids' business? Or you, let's say, do you allow your parents to meddle in your life? Today's Down in the DM Breakdown is heavy. There's a lot going on. Turn this episode up. It's Friday. I know it's not one confession day, but I did something and I feel really guilty about it. And I feel like in order for me to have a good weekend, I got to let it out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony 8.
I took all of the cookie and hot cocoa creamer from the store.
You hoarder!
There were only 3 bottles and I took them all. In fact, even worse, I sent my daughter in to get them.
What? Nice, dude.
I'm telling you, I've been.
I didn't want to do it, so I made her get down and go into the store
always,
and grab them.
Always good when you turn your kid into a mule.
She's no better than the toilet paper people.
You
hit a new low, Dana.
It was only 3, but the supply chain. How long have we been going to the store and we can't find creamer?
For a long time.
Okay.
There is a coffee creamer shortage for sure.
And let me tell you, I need my coffee. If I don't have my cafecito, I'm going to have a bad day. And I need a good creamer. And so I did it.
You're
I did
a hoarder.
Something bad.
You're a hoarder, Dana.
Was your daughter aware that what she was doing was going to be frowned upon?
She corrupted her long ago.
She said, Mom, all these old people were just staring at me like, what are you doing, little girl? What are you doing?
They're like, what kind of drugs are they making with coffee creamer now?
She even FaceTimed me and said, Mom, is this it? I said, yeah, grab it, put it in the basket and run for the door. Anyway, the supply chain is supposedly going to get better before the holidays. Inside National Day. Later on, we'll hear from President Joe Biden, who's going to talk about it. All right. National Day right now. Anthony A.
We will start with National Happy Hour Day.
Hey, ooh. Put some coffee creamer in it.
Also, it's National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day.
Oh, my God. What a great book.
Yeah, I'll,
read that one.
I feel like it's kind of like always chicken
soup
for the soul day.
You might always need that, right? Yeah. You might always need to read that. Okay.
And we'll wrap it up on National French Dip Day.
Delicious
for those
sandwich.
Who don't know, it's a sandwich and you dip it in the, it's like meat juice.
Au
it's au jus, yeah. I guess au jus sounds better than meat juice.
Are you guys ready for this plot twist? The
what?
French dip isn't actually French.
Who invented it?
A French fry.
It was born at Cole's Restaurant in Los Angeles. So let's go, America.
So I guarantee you a Mexican created it.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Ooh, it's time for one of everybody's favorite moments of the week. It is Down in the DM, the breakdown. We take one of the biggest Down in the DMs and we discuss what happened with this couple, what's happening now. Do you guys remember Jessica, who called? Worried about her husband, Rick.
Oh,
yes, yeah, because Rick's partying with friends and he's talking to women in a way that makes her feel uncomfortable on Snap.
He gets like these Snapchat messages like all the time. He's always talking to someone.
Okay, yeah, he's talking on the phone. He's not allowed to have friends or what?
You are not hearing the way that he is talking to these women on the phone, okay? He's not just being friendly. He is flirting.
Plot twist, plot twist, plot twist. That wasn't Jessica. That was Jessica's mom, Brenda.
What
in the world?
Oh, dude, yeah.
How this one went down, went sideways, left, right, all around the corner. Like, it was wild. So we're going to break it down when we come back. Plus, are Rick and Jessica okay after what her mother pulled? Ooh. Okay, find out after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Woo! Today's Down in the DM. We're discussing a meddling mother. Pretty much meddling mother-in-law. This woman pretended to be her daughter, Jessica. Called in and gave a good story. Said, my husband, Rick, is out partying with friends. The way he's talking to women on Snap. We're like, all right, we'll do it a Down in the DM.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Then Rick hears the woman's voice and starts calling her Brenda.
What's going
Jessica,
on?
Jessica, you got to talk.
I know you're out there with other women, Rick. You know what? You are a married man now, okay? And you have got to put those days behind you.
What the Brenda, what crazy shit are you up to now?
Who's Brenda? Well, Brenda's the mother-in-law, which explained why in the beginning she's like, I don't know how to use Snap, and I just thought it was weird, you know, the whole thing. Psychologists have some advice on interfering and intervening in your children's relationships.
Yeah.
In particular, one psychologist named Rebecca McCoolin. I'll share that with you shortly.
I felt like...
But this was crazy.
Yeah, like, I felt like she, of course, took it to the extreme by setting up this down in a DM. But also, like, I feel like a lot of mother-in-laws do this. There's a lot of mothers who really be influencing relationships.
They be nosy.
I'm just very, very glad that Dana's mom is nothing like this.
She's really not. She's going to get mad if Otto doesn't put his clothes in a hamper, but she don't care about him staying out all night or anything like
that. No, but she doesn't get involved in our business at all. I can't imagine being married to somebody whose their mom is constantly up in your business all the time. It could ruin your marriage.
And this isn't an isolated incident. Like you said, Anthony, mother-in-laws, sometimes they do. They get involved in a way they shouldn't. Let's take a call now. Line two, who is this?
Hi, this is Isabella. Girl, I was just commenting on the mom.
How would you handle that if it was your mom getting in your business like that? How would you handle it?
To go on the radio, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be upset, but I wish her out, but I think she just went overboard. She should have thought that through.
I think so, too. She embarrassed her daughter.
Yeah, is it like up to the daughter now to apologize to the boyfriend for all that stuff?
No, that's tricky. The mother-in-law needs to, and that's the husband, the mother-in-law needs to apologize to her son-in-law.
Yeah.
That's her
probably
marriage.
Not going to happen, though.
She feels some type of way, and I think she's stuck in that.
Oh, yeah, she definitely feels some type of way about Rick. I knew that when she said this.
Listen, she's young. She's dumb, you know? I told her, do not get married to this guy. I do not want her getting pregnant from him, and then they're going to be stuck together. This man is just like her father, a good-for-nothing drunk.
I'm going to stop this right now. At that moment, I mean, the whole thing went too far, had I known in the beginning. But when you're bringing up her father, and you obviously have hang-ups.
There you go.
Hang-ups and your choices.
Trying to live vicariously through her daughter.
That's not okay. All right, line four, what are your thoughts about this down in the DM?
Listen, this goes out to all the parents. When your children are in a relationship, you got to fall back. Be there when they need you to pick up their broken pieces if that's what's going to happen. But other than that, she should have stayed in her place. She should have never called for the down of the DM. She really took it to the extreme. And yes, she may cause her daughter a relationship.
And even if you don't like who your kids are with, you kind of have to let people figure that out on their own, or they don't learn that lesson. You know what I'm saying?
I got to ask you, what happened to the couple?
Jessica and Rick are obviously still married. I mean, it's a marriage. It's not boyfriend, girlfriend. She's having to put boundaries on her mom. Rick is not cheating, according to Jessica. We all got on the phone together. He does go out, but they're young. She goes out, too. You know, they go out together. They go out with friends.
That's pretty healthy.
I wonder how she's going to put boundaries on her mom.
She's just telling her you can't interfere. And that's exactly what family psychologist Rebecca McCoolin says from ParedLife.com. Never interfere in your children's relationship. Give advice when asked. And you have to ultimately support their decision, whether you agree or not. It's not your relationship. And as long as they're safe, because that's another conversation, you know what I'm saying? As long as they're safe, you have to understand they're grown adults and they've got to learn their own lessons. All right, so that's today's Down in the DM Breakdown. If you missed the beginning or part of this, you can always catch it on our podcast, Dana Cortez Show. All streaming platforms searching, and as DJ Automatic keeps reminding me, please rate the podcast too. It's free. All right, we'll be right back with more of the show coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
How can you help your child if they're failing in school? Oh. We're going to talk about that right now. One of our family members, that's who we consider everybody who listens, familia, he called in and he's having a very serious situation with his daughter. Here's how that conversation went.
This is Big Mike, homie.
What's up, Big Mike? What's happening?
I'm a single dad and I just moved back from Colorado and enrolled my daughter in a new school. And within 3 weeks, they're already failing her. She's coming from out of state through a pandemic. She's never practiced cursive and they're telling her that her homework has to be done in cursive by 3 weeks. She should be up to par and caught up. I met with the school this morning, and not only am I a veteran, I'm a combat vet, and I'm not going to get too far in my personal business, but
I get it.
The two women, the principal and the teacher, both basically, I felt like, backed me in the corner, and they told me that my child has 3 weeks from coming from a different state to get caught up and meet standards, or she's going to start failing. And she's never practiced cursive.
Did they offer any kind of assistance? Did they offer tutoring,
no
after
tutoring,
school programs?
30 minutes a day from when you're supposed to drive up to the school, because you don't just walk up to the school. You have to drive through like a drive-through process and pick them up. But 30 minutes a day, and the teacher tells me that she does not have any time to tutor my child.
Now, I'm sure there are some people like, well, teachers don't have enough time. They don't get paid enough money. They've got way too many kids in the classroom. And then there's other side of, I sympathize with the father. I understand what he's going through as a single parent. It's hard. We got to meet in the middle.
Well, the first thing I thought of is that some schools don't even teach cursive anymore. And so,
they're going to expect this child who just moved here during the middle of a pandemic to know cursive in 3 weeks?
Right, and that's a problem at hand. But the thought of doing homework again for me as a person without kids, but just the thought of having to like help teach somebody these things and not be able to, that is frightening.
I tried to write in cursive right now. I don't remember how to write in cursive.
You do cursive print.
I do like a hybrid of cursive and print. I don't remember how to do correct cursive anymore.
Beyond all of that, the father feels helpless.
Yeah.
And that conversation went on for 20 minutes. I cut it down, obviously, because we only have so much time here on the radio. He feels helpless. And when it comes to your children, you ultimately want to do the best you can for them. And he doesn't feel like the school is meeting him in the middle. We all sympathize with teachers. We support teachers across the country. But I want to support parents, and we want schools to support parents as well. I've got some ideas for him. If the school doesn't offer tutoring or they only have the 30-minute program, get her in the 30-minute program. You got to figure it out. And I know that's hard. You could reach out to another school.
Yeah. I mean, what we had to do with Stasia was we actually had to put her in out-of-school tutoring so she could
had
get
to.
Because we had moved so many times
with,
that
my
she
daughter,
fell behind.
With
yeah.
my daughter, yeah. Boys and Girls Club sometimes offers tutoring, and we do a lot of work with them. The Khan Academy. There are also online free programs now that are sponsored by government and private entities that offer free tutoring. Don't be afraid to get on social media and ask a friend, a family member, or a neighbor.
Yeah,
either.
I think the online resources might be the way to go for this guy right here, because it seems like he's also caught up between the time crunch of, you know, as a grown adult, you're wasting money.
And may I suggest, I know this is wild, but we did this for our daughter, Ava Matic. I bought the paper How to Learn Cursive books that they used to give you back in the day. And she learned cursive that way. Every day, I would make her do it for 15, 20 minutes, and that's how she learned.
There's this other thing called YouTube that'll teach you pretty much anything.
So what happens if she does go those routes and she still fails?
I don't know, but I told him he needed to contact a school board. Yeah. Regardless of all of these
advice, it's just not fair to do that to that
kid.
Because what is it going to do to the kid in the long run? Probably make her think that she's not smart, and not knowing cursive is not that big a deal.
No, it's really not. I mean, people don't even write anymore. We use electronics 90% of the time.
Obviously, you want to be as proficient as possible in everything you possibly can, but.
And you want to follow the guidelines.
Yes, but like cursive is not going to be a make or break point.
So I did ask this father to contact the school board. I hope he has taken that advice, because if not, then there's no solution. Because as a parent, ultimately, it's our responsibility to make sure that our child gets the help that they need. So hopefully he's done that, and we can check in with him later on next week.
And this isn't an attack on teachers, but I know as a kid who moved a lot,
I got frustrated.
Yeah, from going one school to the next, I remember one teacher, when I was about this kid's age, I was in fourth grade, I had moved from Minnesota to New Mexico, and she wanted to put me in special ed.
She just didn't want to deal with me
because what we did there in Minnesota wasn't matching up with New Mexico. She literally put me in special needs class, and I was like, I don't deserve to be here.
But that's the frustration, and so that's a whole different conversation with dealing with our educational system and affording teachers more help. You got 30 kids in a class, and you're one person. You don't want to have to deal with a little extra work. You know, it's hard. All right, you got any solutions for this parent besides the ones that I just gave him? We'd love to hear from you. Tap in on the phone lines. Teachers, principals, or tutors, please offer some advice for him.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
I don't care who you are. Every once in a while, Taco Bell just hits right. Mm. And they have something coming to their menu that you're going to be excited about. That's Inside Food News. All right, it's Hottest Hashtags here on the Dana Cortez Show. On your Friday, I'm Dana Cortez.
Better be the double decker. DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Mild Sauce.
All right, so first hashtag. President Joe Biden earlier this week addressed the nation to discuss the $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which includes transport, broadband, and utility funding. He also addressed inflation.
Many people remain unsettled about the economy, and we all know why. they see higher prices.
Exactly. Prices are going up faster than wages. We've got to correct that. Hopefully this will help. I just wanted to make note that this infrastructure bill, which, by the way, every president from Trump to Obama to Clinton to Bush has promised an infrastructure bill, and we got it. This was a bipartisan bill. So
it goes into effect on Monday, right? They'll sign into law on Monday. That's $1 trillion.
$1 trillion.
How much money? That's so much money. And they're just going to rebuild the roads. They're going
to... Everything. Broadband. You said when you flew into Singapore to DJ, you said we are in trouble in America.
Well, America looks like a third world country compared to Singapore.
Well, let's catch up. And people go to work. You know what I'm saying? All right. And in food news, Taco Bell hit Houston, Texas last year as a test market for something called the Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito. Well, they loved it out in H-Town, so now it's available for the rest of us.
All right.
And that sounds amazing.
The reviews are crazy.
Might even make me forget about the double decker.
Double marinated steak, double serving of seasoned rice, crunchy red tortilla strips, chipotle sauce, nacho cheese, sour cream, three cheese blend, all rolled up into a soft tortilla with grilled cheese toasted on the outside. Roll up right now. It just sounds good.
It lost me at the red strips.
They gave me the red tortilla chips.
That's a crunchy. It's inside. It's a crunchy inside.
Yeah, that's what Taco Bell always does. They always like try to throw in their own little flair on things, and then it's like, come on.
I'm here for the flair.
No, bring back the double decker.
Sassy DJ Automatic will love this, okay? Put a little fire sauce on it. National Day Anthony A.
All right, we'll start off with National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day.
Hey, I recommend this book. There's a book called Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul. Get it for your kids. Read it with them.
Yes.
One chapter a night. Good stuff.
That's good stuff. And Dana Cortez, what did the Aztecs put on their sandwich?
Anthony A., what did the Aztecs put on their sandwich?
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, you dropped that one. I guessed it, but...
Dana's offended on so many levels.
I am so offended right now. You and your Latinx
mayonnaise.
Jokes.
Mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
Good joke, man.
All right, that one got me all.
That might be the funniest one you've told this year.
That's because you screwed it up so badly.
I couldn't get through it. All right, it's National Happy Hour Day. I'll wrap it up in there. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Hey, happy hour. Why did you say mayonnaise?
I don't know, because it just made me laugh. This is a funny joke.
Has nothing to do with anything.
Mayonnaise.
I need a drink after that. Thank God it's National Happy Hour Day.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Kim Kardashian is dating Pete Davidson, and one of the most beautiful models in the world is explaining why women love Pete. I've got the audio going to play for you right now. Daily Dirt, the best gossip, this story and more. Anthony A., famous people's birthdays.
We got Omarion, Russell Westbrook, Ryan Gosling, and Anne Hathaway celebrating their birthday.
Okay, so Kanye West is apologizing to Soulja Boy. Remember, they started this whole beef. Soulja Boy did a feature for supposed to be on Donda. Kanye said it didn't make the cut. Wah, wah. They're fighting on Twitter. Now they're back together.
I love good hip-hop bromance reunited.
Was it even beef?
Nah, dude. Nah, not between those two.
Huh? All right, so now I'm going to switch gears to one of my favorite people in the music industry, Ariana Grande, who is now hosting The Voice. Man, the ratings have been through the roof since she joined the cast, which is obviously why they paid her the big money. She showed up to work a few days ago dressed as one of my favorite classic movie characters, Jenna Rink from 13 Going on 30, which was played by Jennifer Garner, you know, that's Ben Affleck's ex.
Oh.
This movie is so fun. Remember, I want to be
dirty and flirty and thriving.
Remember DJ Automatic?
No.
How do you not remember that movie? There's a dollhouse and the glitter falls
on her.
The only
thing I remember from that movie is they do a thriller scene where she like dances.
You ain't fun. You ain't my friend. All right. Now let's talk about Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. I didn't know that Pete Davidson was 6'3".
Oh, my man. Yo,
no idea that he was that tall. He looks so short and stumpy on television. Anyway, Emily Ratajkowski, who's promoting her new book, is called My Body, where it's pretty much tell-all book about the way men have treated her throughout the years.
It gets juicy in that book.
Yeah, it really does. It's not good. It's not good the way
she says she don't want to hear about Robin Thicke anymore.
Mm-mm. Not even a little bit. Did you hear what he did to her on Blurred Lines and stuff? Oh, anyway, she explains to Seth Meyers why Pete Davidson is a good catch.
I mean, he seems super charming. He's vulnerable. He's lovely.
Great.
His fingernail polish is awesome. Like, he looks good.
There you go.
He's great. Good relationship with his mother. We love
just
it.
Just a sweetheart. So,
it's hard to find him.
So there you go. Kim Kardashian likes Pete Davidson because Pete Davidson is good to his mother. That's what it's all about. It ain't nothing to do with what Ariana Grande told the world.
Doesn't he still live with his mom?
I think he does.
the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Boys and girls, you do know that your meat comes from cows, right? Well, there was this young steer, 2-year-old steer, that managed to escape slaughter from the ranch. And where did he find himself? At a water park, sliding down into the pool.
What the fuck?
All caught on camera, all caught on video. I'm posting it now at Dana Cortez on Instagram. Carlos Miguel Cervantes said, my 2-year-old steer went missing. And, you know, we need to make them steaks for people. So he finds out he went into the water park, goes out there, ropes the cow, kind of leads him down the slide into the pool. The video went viral, so he promises that he won't be killing this particular bovine because the people want to meet the cow. They were fascinated at how much fun this steer was having at the water park.
Now, Dana, for the people who ain't from around here,
what is a bovine?
A steer, that's a male.
It's a boy.
It's a boy cow.
Yeah, it's a boy.
Bull? Is that a bull?
Well, he's not quite a bull. He's only 2. And now he says people are lining up at the ranch to take pictures with him. So he's already made an appointment to appear at a club.
What?
I swear.
Yeah, dude, that sounds about right. Yeah.
The cow is going to be hosting a VIP section.
This
nice.
This cow's living a better life than it would live in India.
I know. Anyway.
Well, from cows to cats. So we have a former Australian soldier who's accused of storming an animal shelter to retrieve his cat.
Okay, yeah, so
he basically went full on Jason Bourne.
Yo, because the homies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it actually wasn't that cool because he ended up tying up at a 23-year-old employee and told the employee to count to 100 while he went to retrieve the cat. Thing is he never retrieved the cat and just took off and left. And then came back the next day and asked for the cat again, and that's when they arrested him.
Oh my gosh, so he's locked up and so is the cat.
Exactly.
This is like a wild version of that movie Wet Willy.
What?
Wet Willy? I've never seen that.
Free Willy.
Free Willy.
Wet Willy's what I got last night.
Jump Free Willy. Jump.
From cats to cows to a running woman. A lady from Vermont named Alyssa Clark set the record for running 95 marathons in 95 days.
What?
Yeah, that's right. The homegirl from Vermont started running in March 2020 of the lockdown, and that was the only thing she did to pass time. She ran and earned the Guinness World Record for most consecutive days to run a marathon distance.
I can't even imagine running a block every day. I hate running.
28 miles a day for 95 days. What did she eat? What kind of shoes did she wear? Like, is this woman Superwoman?
They're red and white. Nike Cortezes. Remember Forrest Gump?
Run! Run! Run!
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
November 12th, the Dana Cortez Show is on with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. All right, let's get it started.
We're going to start with some music birthdays. We got Omarion celebrating today. All right, and do you guys remember Tevin Campbell? Can we
talk? You better add that to the One Hit Wonder playlist, DJ Automatic. Come on now.
All right, next we're going to 1991 because on this day, Tupac releases his debut solo album, Tupacalypse Now. I hear Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. A damn shame the girl can hardly spell her name. That's not. This was a politically charged album that was critically acclaimed, and it did go gold within a year, but it didn't do that great on the charts. It peaked at number 64. It did go platinum in 2012, but like I said, it caused a lot of controversy because of its political lyrics.
But it's not political. Tupac was speaking on things that are still relevant today. He's just speaking about his surroundings. It always angers me when people are like, oh, that's controversial. Well, if you got a problem with the issue, so resolve the issue. Don't get mad at the person speaking on the truth.
For me, I think I love Tupac's content in regards to his album. Yeah. I didn't think his lyrical ability was at where it was when he made the next.
No, he definitely became a better rapper as he went.
Yeah, Brenda Has a Baby is such an iconic song within hip hop.
All right, next we're going to another huge debut. On this day in 1996, Eminem releases his solo album, Infinite, which had no big hits on it. As a matter of fact, it was a gigantic flop. It sold less than 1,000 units. In fact, Eminem was actually selling it out his trunk. He was selling vinyl and cassettes out the back of his car.
But it did have some Eminem cult classics like Infinite and 313 was on there too.
So. And it got also, the attention of Dr. Dre.
It didn't necessarily get the attention of Dr. Dre right away. He actually lost a rap battle. He got second at a rap battle in the Midwest. And that got the attention of Dr. Dre because they were like, there's this white boy from Detroit that's kind of dope. Then he got on with
and
Aftermath.
And the rest is history.
Exactly. All right, another big, huge release in 1996 on this day. Lil' Kim releases Hardcore.
Lil' Kim the queen bee, so you best take heed. Shall I proceed? Yes, indeed.
The album sold 78,000 first week. It did end up going double platinum. It was executive produced and written mostly by Biggie. It had features from Jay-Z, Lil' C's, and Puffy on it. Next, we're going to 2002 when Missy Elliott releases her fourth album, Under Construction.
Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your permit if it's wet yet.
For this album, Missy and Timberland teamed up for another multi-platinum hit record. It had two top 10 singles, one with Work It, which you hear right now, and it won a Grammy. And then the other one was Gossip Folks with Luda that hit number 8 on the charts. All right, now we're going to 2002 because on this day, Jay-Z releases his seventh album, Blueprint 2.
So let's lock this down like it's supposed to be. The 03, Bonnie and Clyde, Hov and B. Holla, all I need in this life to say. It's me and my girlfriend, me and my girlfriend.
The Blueprint 1 came out in 2001. This was a continuation of it. It sold 545,000 first week. It went 3 times platinum. 03 Bonnie and Clyde featuring Beyonce hit number 3 on the charts. And every guy in the club was wearing a striped button-down shirt because Jay-Z told him to.
Yeah, this was like pinnacle Rockefeller rock wear Jay-Z too. And I think this is a very underrated Jay-Z album. You have Kanye on the production, of course, and also Excuse Me Miss. I know you mentioned the Bonnie and Clyde record, but Excuse Me Miss with Pharrell is to this day one of my favorite Jay-Z songs.
That's one of my favorite Jay-Z songs. It really is.
And we're going to wrap it up in 2002. On this day, Sean Paul releases his album, Dirty Rock, and brings dancehall to the masses.
Get busy, just hear that booty nonstop when the beat drop, just keep swinging it.
So this record was huge internationally. It's, you could still play it in the club, but the one that really did well in the charts was Baby Boy with Beyonce. It went number 1 for 9 straight weeks.
I think that what you said is true. He popularized dancehall on a worldwide scale. A lot of people loved it, but now everybody knows about it because of Sean Paul. Music Facts with DJ Automatic got you at this time every Monday through Friday, only right here on the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
How to handle an overbearing mother-in-law is the first thing that pops up in Google after the word overbearing. So we're going to give you a few tips from two dudes right now. Let's welcome you two dudes.
One studio.
Recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show. And I guess we're kind of breaking down, recapping our Down in the DM breakdown.
Yes.
Which we do every single Friday. If you've missed any DM, we talk about our favorite ones and we highlight. It's kind of like when your favorite reality show does one of those reunion things. It's fun. I love them. But the mom was an overbearing mother-in-law, actually set up the Down in the DM on the homie. DJ Automatic, you have a mother-in-law.
I do.
Was this, did you, was this
I don't have an overbearing mother-in-law. No, oh, I don't have mother-in-law problems. She's really? Definitely, she minds her business. She doesn't come at me with anything.
Have you guys been cool from the rip for the most part?
Yeah, from the rip, we've been cool.
What would you credit that to, Automatic?
She understands that I don't have, like, I don't want her in my business and I don't want to be in her business. Like, oh. Yeah, like her, I let her and Dana have their relationship and they do what they do and I don't get involved.
So if you have an overbearing in-law, you know what I'm saying? Here's one way to, handle that problem. Dish it right back. How about that?
How about that? If she wants to talk a little trash, you talk it right back.
There
okay,
you
mom.
Go, dude. I like this one
We're
a lot.
We're all adults here.
I like this one a lot. If she has siblings, if your lady or your man has siblings, vent to them about the mother-in-law. Makes sense?
Yeah, I guess.
No,
yeah.
I mean, Dana's an only child, so you don't got nobody to go to.
No, I don't have anybody
but,
to go
you know,
to.
If she had a problem with your mother, with your mom, she could go to your brothers and be like, yo, does she do this to everybody?
Yeah, and they would be like, yeah, she's a little crazy.
I like this one, Automatic. Tell me what you think about it. Kill her with kindness. How does that go?
Yeah, that works. That's what I do. I mean, I don't ever have anything negative to say to her. I don't come to her with my problems. I don't come to her with any gripes or anything because if I have a problem, I'm going to go to my wife with it.
Ooh, that's a bar right there. And I'm going to get into this one right here. Don't take anything personal.
Oh, that's impossible. I mean, that's impossible. How are you going to not take it personal? I was like, my grandma doesn't like my dad, and there was no way that there was like it wasn't taken personally. I mean, it affected my entire life because of it.
Oh, my God.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Man, Astier is booking more clubs than any DJs I know. You know what I'm saying? This cow is like
up
there.
Is that a shot at me, Dana?
No, it's a shot at every DJ. Do it like the Astier. If you go to Dana Cortez on Instagram, I did post the video of this cow playing on slides. I showed Erica, the intern, and she's like, what is happening there? That is wild. He really did escape and go to the park.
Man, good for him living that life, dude. I'm happy for him.
And now he's never going to get killed. He's like, what was the name of that? Wilbur the pig. Remember when Charlotte made his little web and so nobody ever killed him?
Oh,
because they didn't get to eat him. Yeah. Charlotte's web. Okay. Yeah.
I know I'm going to massacre this, but I'm still going to say.
But at least the cow's not getting massacred. What?
Well, so like in Indian culture, they believe in karma. And I think that they believe that people come back as cows.
I don't know for sure. So why don't we ask somebody who's listening to hit us up and get us. But you're right. Hinduism, there is.
And
I know
if,
the
I was,
cows
if
the
I'm
streets.
Wrong, that was totally like unintentional.
Well, why don't you Google it right now? And tomorrow's
That's
podcast
a whole
we'll
bunch
talk
of
about
work,
it.
Dana.
Hit us up and let us know if you know anything about how they treat cows in India. Because you're right, I have seen them roaming the streets and whatnot. And turn the podcast up. Here's more now.
Oh, wait, I was way wrong. Sorry about that.